But you got to scrub those hands. You've got to interlace your fingers and scrub. Scrub your fingertips, you know, that touches everything from buttons to elevator buttons, everything else. Wash the back and the front of your hands. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your family. You're doing it for the whole community to stop community spread. We have to keep each other safe in this very dire time. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Amy. It is 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. Very good Tuesday evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
I'm really well.
It's been
overall
a hectic day. It's been pretty hectic. We've been doing a lot of work. A lot of demands are being placed on us. And having to run around like crazy.
Well, I've also been just getting to things that I'd been putting off or that were sort of in the back of my mind. You know when you're remembering something and then you're like, okay, now I can really get this out of the way, so I want to do that so I don't have to keep remembering that I want to remember to do that. Does that make sense?
Actually, it does, and that worries me. I understood perfectly what you said. Most of the time that happens to me, I wake up and it's a dream, but it can happen.
So getting to those things has kept me very occupied, and there's been a number of just kind of work things and chores, that kind of late summer. It's not the lazy days of summer. We're looking to fall here.
Actually, we might be looking at severe thunderstorm day of summer. If you looked outside recently, it's kind of dark and gloomy, and I just received a warning saying that there might be some trouble ahead.
Well, it's always good to be forewarned.
It was inevitable that one of these days we do a show out here where the elements just opened up. So we'll see what happens. We're not in the studio.
It's not. No, don't say that. We'll see what happens. I'm so tired of people saying that.
Well, what else can
we'll
you say?
What happens.
Wait and see attitude? I mean,
What about we'll hear what happens?
Well, it's radio, so you will hear what happens. Or you'll hear what doesn't happen when we have dead air.
I'm going to sense. Yeah, sense what happens.
Well, a lot is happening, and we have so much to cover in this hour. I hope we can get to it all. I don't even know where to begin with the hate-spewed rhetoric that has been going on over the past, well, at least day, but certainly over the last 4 years. Oh, boy. I'm not a big fan of conventions, political conventions, that is. But I have to say, what the Democrats did last week kind of worked. You know, it was this virtual thing. And people are giving them crap for having a virtual conference. Having just run a virtual conference, I take exception to that. But I think that there are elements that really came through that would not have come through in an in-person event. Of course, the roll call is what everyone was talking about, where you basically had all these different states and territories weighing in from those particular states and territories. And it was really awesome to see the variety, the diversity. That's what it's all about. Yeah, there's corniness, there's the usual political hype, and the general feeling that, okay, you're not going to do what you say you're going to do, or you're going to be in the pockets of somebody. Yeah, there's always that. But at least there is some kind of dissent, there's some kind of difference of opinion. You see all the former candidates getting together in that Zoom call towards the end, where they're just kind of reminiscing about some of the adventures they had together, and you realize, wow, these are people just going through some history here, and uniting now in a common cause, like we all should be. That was kind of neat to see, and yeah, you can say, oh, they're politicians, and we can be all negative about it, but the fact of the matter is, we are at a real turning point here where we choose one thing or another. There is no third choice. I wish there was. I wish there were many choices. But right now, we going fascist or not? That's pretty much it. That's the choice. So we had that. We had the Democratic convention last week, and now it's the turn of the Republican convention as the music stops. Oh, what a bunch of screaming, crazy people yesterday. I mean, these are the people who won. These are the people in power. They are never not angry. They are never not trying to instill fear into you. They are always screaming at you. I mean, if anybody has the right to be upset, angry, and screaming, it's the Democrats for all the losses they dealt with 4 years ago. But what I saw last night, it was scary, and not the kind of scary they want me to feel, where I just basically lash out against all immigrants and anybody who's a little bit different and just basically go back to the 1950s. No, I'm scared of them. These are scary people. These are bad people. These are not the kind of people I want running my local ice cream shop, let alone the government. And we have three more days of this. And yeah, I think people should watch it. I think people should pay attention to what's going on, it's easy to just turn your back and say, oh, I'm just not going to pay any attention to this, and it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. You have to fight. You have to work to make this go away. And the next few days are going to be all the evidence we need, I believe, to really put every effort into that task.
Absolutely. And the consummate complaining and victimhood of this party is it's mind-boggling, the cognitive leaps and bounds they make to have these just endless grievance after grievance after grievance. I don't even know. It's uncanny, the volume and pitch of saber rattling and fear mongering and accusations, unfounded accusations.
Marxist, anarchist, Joe Biden? Really? What are we talking about here? Have you looked at these people?
Yeah.
I mean, I know Marxist, anarchist, and it's embarrassing.
They don't even want to know that they don't want their supporters to know the other side, that they like disagree over anything specific. They just want to demonize the Democrats completely. They don't want there to be any chance, any risk, any fear on their part managing it, that the base will absorb any kind of opposing opinion per se. The just entirety, the out of hand disregard for democratic ideals, or not even ideals, just base policies or the right for the Democrats to exist. They have all this quote evidence and allegations, and that is circumspect, in a circumspect way, meant to build a case to make the Democrats null and void. They don't want their base to hear it at all. If they listen,
well, their base is just going to believe whatever they are told. I don't mean to sound condescending, but when you hear these crazy ass theories that are being thrown out there and accusations without any evidence that are just simply repeated as if the evidence doesn't matter, the facts don't matter. It's just who you hear it from. You know, Trump says all kinds of insane things. And you see people simply repeating it almost word for word. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He is the vessel. I've noticed this for the religious right to get them where they need to be. That's why they support him all the time. People are astounded by the fact that he is so not anti-religious, but not the kind of person that any religious person would be proud of having in their flock. He does not respect religion, and you're a fool if you think that he does. But they are willing to hold their noses and deal with him because he will do, and this is something I agree with him on, he will do what he says he's going to do. That's why they want him in office, and that's why we don't want him in office, because he will do what he said he was going to do. Yeah, he is different. He's different from most politicians because he actually follows through on his promises. It's just that his promises are so terrible that we have to do everything in our power to keep him from continuing to fulfill those promises. So basically, All of these strange things that are said that have no basis in reality and just turn into talking points and almost factual arguments when there's absolutely nothing to back them up, that is something that I think is unique and unusual for many of us. And what he is doing with the Democrats is basically demonizing them, turning them into what he needs them to be. And, you're not Marxist enough. Did you know somebody who was Marxist once? No? Okay. Well, maybe you know somebody who went to a country that was Marxist. Or, you said sharing is caring. That's it. You're a communist. You know, that's all kinds of things. They'll just jump onto anything, and the flock will simply follow along, regardless of how weak or non-compelling the evidence actually is.
And with no introspection or critical eye towards the kinds of things they're validating in the process. That's what I think is really crazy, is that this majority that is out there is allows so much of it to exist in their name. That I think speaks to kind of the religious coalition, their attitudes. And I mean, why would we then be surprised if the Democrats held their nose just a little bit over some policies that took care of people, you know, and resembled, yes, an ideal and a attitude towards the world that was a little bit more humanist than capitalist.
Right. So it's entertaining, but it's also scary because you realize there are so many people who buy into this, and it doesn't matter. The facts don't matter.
Yeah, being completely hypocritical and demonizing and condemning an entire party, a party that itself proved to be really diverse and have a lot to offer last week. And we're, according to the Republicans, to believe that it's just sort of invalid.
Well, the diversity actually is a bad thing in their eyes.
Yes.
They will put forth this fake diversity where, hey, look, we've got a black guy, we've got a Puerto Rican person, we're diverse. No, it doesn't. That's not how it works. They are afraid. They are afraid of the differences of change. You saw the racist dog whistles last night. One of them was inviting MS-13 to live next door to you. What the hell does that mean? What, an Hispanic family? Is that what you're saying? Because that's what people are going to interpret it as. People speaking Spanish next door, it's got to be MS-13.
There were a lot of run-on sentences and like teleprompter. You know, they were teleprompter collisions of words or skipping words because they're reading from prepared remarks. I think one of them was human sex traffickers, or she just one of the women speaking, the chair of the party, I think, or the Republican committee, went off on trafficking and just made this crazy monster out of a bunch of different words that you could tell there were supposed to be some commas there, but it just turned into this crazy,
right.
Well, like, what is that? A human sex? It just sounded like some crazy Frankenstein.
Yeah, punctuation is not their friend.
Well, and the fury, that anger was just leaving the punctuation in the dust. It didn't matter. And I think Donald Jr. sounded the same way.
Okay. Okay. Donald Jr. Oh my God. This guy is truly scary. He is truly scary because these the people that follow Trump, no matter what, they're going to follow him no matter what. Take me seriously. This guy could actually be in contention in the future for a role of leadership. And imagine him, his crazed eyes, in between times when he's killing endangered animals. This person could lead you into all kinds of hell that you can never get out of.
He has a lot of his father's mannerisms and stuff. He's doing a lot of the hand gestures.
Yeah, but a lot more intense and a lot scarier.
Yeah,
and that's what I worry about. The Stephen Millers, the Donald Trump Juniors, those people, they are the ones that could latch onto control and not give it up. And we all pay the price for that. One thing, though, that was particularly, I got to say, humorous, because I have to see the humor in these things. But listening to his speech last night, his speech was teleprompted as well. One of the things he said was our party, they're trying to make the Democratic Party into something that's not inclusive. and he said, the Republican Party will welcome anyone. And the first thing we have to do is get rid of all the radicals. So the sentence after he said we're going to welcome everybody, he starts saying the first people we're going to kick out.
Yeah. There was a lot of hypocrisy and a lot of like really weird.
But he had to have written that and read it and said, yeah, that's okay. That doesn't contradict itself one sentence away from itself.
You have to be like smelling glue or something to understand.
Oh, if only drugs were involved here. It's not drugs. It's not drugs. This is how these people really feel all the time. It is so scary. It is so scary. People in the rest of the world, we are scared. We are really frightened. And hopefully the democratic process does what it's supposed to do. Remember, Remember, they lost by 3 million votes.
Yeah, this
they
is,
lost. This is minority rule.
This
they
is
lost.
Them not having a mandate.
Oh. Okay, all right. Let's change gears for a second. We're going to come back to some other really important issues. But I just want to let people know that the campus is open again, sort of. School is beginning.
For now.
Now, this is not working out well in many parts of the country. Now, college campuses, this is a headline I just saw, face explosion of COVID-19 cases and challenges to get students to follow safety protocols. The University of Alabama, for instance, reported more than 550 people testing positive for the coronavirus since classes began 1 week ago. Yeah, you could say it's Alabama. What do you expect? No, that's wrong because people are dumbasses everywhere. All right. And the exploding number of COVID-19 cases on campuses are leaving colleges and universities grappling with some vexing questions. How do you get students to cooperate with new safety measures? Well, right here at Stony Brook, we have already problems. University found a small number of violations of the university's COVID-19 health policy. Several students have been put on interim housing suspension for violations, and they've not yet been suspended from their academic studies, but this happened over the weekend. Over the weekend, we had people that were not following the guidelines and acting dangerously and putting everybody else at risk. Now, there's this it's this app that everybody on campus is being told to use called Campus Clear. I don't get it. I'm trying to understand this, but basically what you do is you get this this app, you put it on your phone. Of course, you have to have a phone. I'm not sure if that's a requirement now to get on campus, but you basically have this thing ask you a question every day, and depending on how you answer that question, you either get a smiley face that says good to go. You're told that you're not allowed to come on campus, or you're told to see a doctor, which I assume also means you shouldn't go on campus. And basically it's asking you to check anything such as fever over 100, cough, shortness of breath, a lack of smell, diarrhea, nausea, influenza-like illness. And basically we're letting people on campus now if they have a smile on their phone. That's what it comes down to. I don't get it because what it's relying on are people basically being honest about these symptoms, whereas it's just as easy for you to say, hey, do I feel sick? Should I go to school today? Maybe not. Having that common sense instilled in you, I think, makes sense. Now, this can work really well if you do contact tracing, but how does that work? I know there's an email address attached to every account. There's a phone number attached to every account. But how exactly are you going to say, all right, this person isn't coming to school today, so all the people that were near this person should also be contacted? But I'm not aware of that kind of surveillance going on. So we're not hearing everything about this. If in fact that's how it's being used, yes, it can be effective, but how exactly are we doing that? How are we tracing where people are, who they're next to, that kind of thing? So I don't know. It's kind of funny. If you go to the App Store, read some of the reviews, they're pretty priceless. Sometimes apparently it doesn't give you clearance until after you're already on campus, and it's really simple to lie. Obviously, I'm not quite sure I see the point. It might just be a false security there. The important thing is to know the risks, to know the safety procedures, to wear a damn mask, to keep the social distancing, keep that up. It's been working. That's what we really need to instill in people. And if someone gets sick, yes, we do everything we can to figure out who was around them and make sure that they're healthy as well. I'm worried about what's going on with schools because I know so many people, you just see it by walking around outside, so many people aren't observing this. They seem to think it doesn't affect them or it's not going to be so bad. Completely not aware of how bad it could be for other people, even if it's not bad for them and they're the carriers. So that's what we need to instill, and we need to hammer it into people's heads and make sure anybody who thinks it's a political issue is corrected, because there's nothing political about staying healthy. It's the dumbest thing in the world to assume that anybody wants to shut down economies or businesses or schools or anything like that, Nobody wants this. But what we should all want is for us to get past this, for that number to stop going up. 177,000 people are dead. You know, that is something that the Republicans are not talking about at their convention. Believe me, they are not. They don't want that number to be remembered. But every single one of those people did not have to die. Now, you know, I'm not naive here. Obviously, in a global pandemic, people are going to die. There's no avoiding that. But it didn't have to be like this. It's simply insane what has happened in this country. Worse than anywhere else in the world, including where it all started. That is really what should be paramount on people's minds.
Yeah, and regarding that technology, I just hope they're not asking a whole bunch of actions and input and entering things and creating stuff. People don't want to do that. I mean, they're used to getting likes and all this validation and approval from their friends using that kind of software, and this does none of that. It keeps you alive. Maybe it keeps other people healthy or comes in handy when you're trying to warn them that they may not be healthy much longer. But overall, it's probably something that is going to have to become ordinary, become a part of the routine if you want on-campus learning
the way
it was. Yeah, because we can't operate as though things have not changed. And these steps are just basic precautions to be doing some of this. So, and with their mention of it, other than blaming other people or not taking responsibility or blaming in some sort of xenophobic tirade, there was no acknowledgement of error or hubris
at the RNC. No, absolutely not. And there won't be. And that's another thing that is really disturbing. At the DNC, you saw some signs of dissent. You saw other people getting votes. At the RNC, it was every single vote for Trump and not one word of dissent. And you won't see a word of dissent. You won't. You'll just see it different levels of crazy. But that's it.
Yeah, there's even bipartisanship. I don't know. They may have had a token Democrat who was at the RNC, but I don't really know that it was as center stage as it was at the DNC's event last week, where you had so many Republicans. In fact, I think the critique coming away, a lot of people in the sort of late night set and some of the news programs commented and in newspapers, I think, that took away that there was an overemphasis on that, and to the detriment of people like AOC and some of the up-and-coming leadership that was represented there, only getting really a small part versus the Republicans that were there.
She got a lot of crap, too, because NBC, among other media outlets, didn't understand how the process works. Whenever anybody is nominated and they get enough votes to qualify, they have to be nominated and seconded. That is how the procedure works. And by her seconding Bernie Sanders' nomination, NBC decided to report that as her disrespecting Joe Biden, which is not true at all. She's supporting the candidacy. She's playing a role in the convention as she was supposed to.
It wasn't news. It made perfect sense.
But it turned into news, and it turned into the way the story was being reported as the party basically at each other's throats. Nothing could be further from the truth. Disagreement is a strength, not a weakness. What scares me is unanimity. So when you have nobody disagreeing, well, then you have Belarus, then you have North Korea, then you've got, Hong Kong situations, or potential Hong Kong situations. So it's the dissent. That's where there's hope. That's always where there's hope. So you can hear there's thunder now. I knew this was going to happen. There's thunder and there's rain, I believe.
Just ignore that. I'm trying to, but I see. People only get electrocuted while broadcasting five out of every six times that lightning strikes them.
All right, so we have another name to remember now to add to the list. Jacob Blake, the latest. Yeah, Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Shot in the back multiple times by more than one cop. It's you know, what do you say when this keeps happening? We keep protesting, and it keeps happening. Now, if you watch the RNC tonight, odds are you won't see a word about the guy, but you will see all kinds of outrage over the quote-unquote rioting. And, you know, people are angry. People are carrying signs and shouting, and some people even destroy property.
I think a semi-truck got lit on fire.
Okay, a semi-truck got lit on fire. I'll go to the funeral. It's not violence. It's vandalism. Okay, we've been, over the past week, watching the events in Minsk, in Belarus. And, you know, there's an election being stolen there. And finally, we knew this was coming. For many years, we knew this was coming. Finally, people are standing up to Lukashenko and saying, enough already. He's getting more and more crazed, going around with machine guns now or whatever, threatening his own citizens. We've seen, I mentioned Hong Kong, we've seen demonstrations there. If I had to ask you, Kyle, what's the issue with Hong Kong in one sentence? What would you say? What's all the fuss about?
People not wanting to be extradited.
Okay, good. Yeah, China moving in and basically trying to take things over. Belarus. What's Belarus about?
People wanting to be able to leave the country at all ever.
Well, it's mostly about the election.
Well, yeah.
Mostly about the election. But the things that you're not saying, you're not talking about the vandalism. You're not talking about things on fire. You're not talking about broken glass. Why aren't you talking about that? That's what we're talking about here. That's the number one thing that everybody always latches onto. Oh, my God, the property destruction. But if it's another country, if it's somewhere else in the world, we don't care about that. We care about the issue. We care about what it is they're demonstrating about in the first place. Why don't we do that here?
Yeah, it's not ever the injustice at hand. It's how and the who and the what and the what took place and whatever kind of backstory or other things we can dredge up of interest to distract us from that injustice.
So all I'm seeing on the media, I'm certainly seeing it on the right-wing media, but also on the mainstream media as well, about events in Kenosha, yeah, it's turned violent. No, it turned violent when they shot the guy. That's when the violence began. And they're sending the National Guard in. Good. I think they should send the National Guard in. I just disagree with where they should be pointing their guns. They should be sent in to control the police, who can't seem to keep from shooting people. That is what the National Guard should be doing, not trying to control the people who are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing and voicing outrage at something that never should happen and yet continues to happen and will keep happening if we don't raise our voices. You know, there's a dialogue going on now. The dialogue's not because people sign petitions. The dialogue is because people are out in the street. And we cannot let Republicans sway that and turn it into something it's not. That people, what were they saying? That's
just them holding water for the police.
Yeah, that they want to basically destroy cities, destroy economies, kick people out of their houses. They were just coming up with a whole laundry list of horrors that these demonstrators seem to want. And if it's not Antifa, it's Black Lives Matter now being demonized. And that's just insane. That's just something that we cannot tolerate. There was a case out east in Montauk. Did you hear about this? A Montauk Brewing Company. They had a chalkboard outside their tasting room. And they basically put up a message saying that they believed that they supported Black Lives Matter. They supported the movement. They said they made donations to the NAACP and Black Emotional and Mental Health. And initially the reactions were very positive, as they should be.
Their slogan, by the way, is come as you are.
Yeah. I agree with that slogan. But there was a delayed backlash, and of course it took the form of a Facebook group. And before you knew it, there were over 25,000 people part of something called Defund Montauk Brewing Company. Yeah. It was formed on August 12th. And they basically write, This group is to bring awareness. I'm sorry, most of this is illiterate. This group is to bring awareness due the recent events that Montauk Brewing Company has decided to take and make a poor decision by supporting an anti-American terrorist group.
Tell me that's not a Russian bot.
It's not a Russian bot. The next day, there were a whole bunch of negative reviews for Montauk Brewing Beer's tasting room on Yelp. There were so many, in fact, that Yelp had to suspend posting to the Montauk Brewing page. This business recently received increased public attention, which often means people come to this page to post their views on the news, a message read. While we don't take a stand one way or another when it comes to this incident, really, Yelp, why not? Why don't you take a stand on something like this? This is kind of important.
Because they're cowards.
We work to verify that the content you see here reflects personal consumer experiences with the business rather than the news itself. And commenting was disabled. Now, defund Montauk Brewing Company, whose administrators are listed as Valeria Frank of Nassau County and Rob Frank of Farmingdale. Wonder if they know each other. Has been made private, but posts that were visible on Friday when it was still a public group expressed outrage at the Black Lives Matter movement, which has called for racial justice, an end to racism in policing, and defunding of the police.
Oh, yeah, really reasonable thing to be outraged at.
One photo posted on the Defund Montauk Brewing Company page showed a woman pouring blue paint on a Black Lives Matter mural in Manhattan with the caption, "Because blue lives matter, too." All right, I'm just going to get off the bus for a second here and say, if you believe blue lives matter, you are an idiot. I will say it again. If you think blue lives matter, you are a damn fool. Why? Because there is no such thing as a blue life. Blue is not a race. Blue is a color attached to a particular profession. And hey, great on you for taking pride in your profession. And I love cops who are good cops, who protect people, who do their job, who are friendly. That is something that I think is, we've had many encounters with good cops.
It's not the issue here.
Not the issue. If you call yourself blue and equate that with being black, don't you see how racist that alone is? You're basically trivializing or just completely eliminating everything that people of color have to go through on a daily basis every day of their lives. Yeah, you're not a cop when you're at home, but you're black when you're at home. You're black when you're on the bus. You're black when you're at work. You're black all the time. And I would bet anybody who says Blue Lives Matter has no idea what that's like. It's just so distressing to see how people don't get it. To think that people saying Black Lives Matter somehow mean that no other lives matter.
It's just oversimplifying it.
It's because we all know that all lives matter already that it's necessary to say Black Lives Matter, because clearly they don't in the eyes of many and in the eyes of many people who wear blue.
You've already lost them. They don't want to think that much.
You know, it doesn't matter. I know there. I cannot possibly convince people of this because they've already drunk the Kool-Aid. But I'm damned if I'm going to be quieted or silenced or told it doesn't matter. Because it does. There are still people who don't know, who have not made up their minds yet, who are being influenced by this garbage. They need to hear it.
They're on the fence, yeah.
Other members accuse the Black Lives Movement of condoning violence and supporting terrorism. Where are you getting this from? And don't say Trump. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Where are you getting this from? You hear one lunatic on a street corner saying something, and you're going to attach an entire movement to that? Because, hey, if we play that game, everybody you support is basically certifiable. So that is not any way to judge a movement. Black Lives Matter is a pretty pure philosophy. But Montauk Brewing Company has been dragged into this. And again, why? Because they said on a chalkboard that they support Black Lives Matter. That's all it took in this racist county of ours, Suffolk County, New York. It is extremely racist. This kind of thing happens. And we don't stand up against it. We don't do enough. We just let it keep happening. It's disgusting. I see it time and time again. I see all the pickup trucks with the huge flags and the Trump banners basically bearing down on everybody and just bullying everyone in their path. And we don't speak up against it. We're afraid to. There's signs everywhere. We saw a pro-Zeldin sign the other day. We'll get to Zeldin in a second. And nobody touched it. Eventually somebody did vandalize it, but it wasn't anybody against Zeldin. It was somebody who was more for Trump. So if you're right-wing, the only people going to vandalize your signs are the more right-wing people. I'm not saying vandalize signs. I'm saying speak up. Be loud. You know, you got the nut in Port Jefferson who keeps putting up his Trump banners because he owns the corner. Well, why isn't anybody else putting up a sign countering that? How come nobody challenges this? We just say, oh, this is wrong. We'll see you in court. We'll write a letter to the editor and file a petition. No, that time has passed. We need to be loud. We need to be out there. We need to make no mistake that our voices matter too. Because when you're quiet, this kind of thing happens. Just somebody speaking up and saying Black Lives Matter. Liable to lose your business for that. And do you think anyone else is going to stand up and say Black Lives Matter? Do you think another business will put that on their chalkboard after seeing what happened here? No, not if they want to stay in business. And I don't fault them. But we live in such a society right now where that kind of thing is enough. And yet we somehow say we don't live in a racist society? Please, wake up. Look around you. Look what's going on. Anyway, please support these guys. Montauk Brewing Company. One of the owners' father is a cop, for God's sake. They shouldn't have to prove themselves. They've been bending over backwards saying how much they support cops. And everybody supports good cops. I don't think there are many people who don't. But they should not have to prove themselves. All they said was they support Black Lives Matter. They support people living in peace, not getting shot, being treated equally, fairly. And now it's all happening again. It's all happening again in Wisconsin. Jacob Blake, did you see the press conference today? His family gave a press conference. It's amazing to me, every time someone gets shot, killed, or maimed, their families always have the most moving ceremonies or just presentations, I guess. I don't know what you'd call them. What? How do you stand up in front of the media after your loved one has been killed or seriously wounded and make any sense whatsoever? But what I see is just, it's so moving. It's so inspiring that someone could actually stand up and be that together, you know, anger, but channeling it in the right way. It was amazing.
I think actually a large part of that is because the community and the movement itself has become so practiced at this. I don't mean that in a cold way. I mean that time and time again, counsel and counselors, lawyers, the teams, Benjamin Crump, the people that have been there right away when these incidents occur for the families to know what they are immediately going to be going through, what their preparations, what decisions and things they're going to have to keep track of and control, both an investigation as well as a memorial and, you know, laying someone to rest and dealing with young people and the overall impact, let alone protest and direct action that goes on around it. So I think that it's a real testament that the people can, that the representation can come in, handle some of those things, and that there's so many good people out there for the family to help them with all the other aspects of it. But I have a strong feeling that it is really in part because there's a fraternity, there's a community of people.
No, you're right.
Who've been impacted. It's the same with school or mass shootings. The same kind of close knit community of people that have that kind of tragedy in their lives.
Well, I mean, in the African American community, and I've seen this said many times. There is this sense, this trepidation that, okay, we made it through today, maybe not tomorrow, kind of waiting for something to happen, either to you or to somebody you know, or to an acquaintance of one sort or another. So yeah, what you say is correct. There is sort of this preparation, and it's a terrible thing that that is something that actually exists.
In this case, he's still alive.
He is still alive, but he's paralyzed.
He's in really, really bad shape.
And I don't care if he just, you know, if he walks out of the hospital the next day.
This is still a
horrible, horrible thing. Should never have happened. And these guys are on administrative leave. Really? That is what you do to somebody who shoots someone in the back?
There were five guys. I mean, I haven't seen the videos. We've been talking. So it's like, I think four or five officers. Doesn't matter.
It might as well be 100 because it keeps happening. They keep protecting their own. You should never do that when someone does something this egregious. And that is why. When you hear the phrase defund police, that is what people want to defund. That kind of protection racket you have going. It needs to change. It cannot be like that. There is nothing else. No other trade I know where people just blindly support no matter what happens, no matter how wrong somebody is. You know, if a plumber bludgeons somebody to death with a ratchet, other plumbers aren't going to come to his defense. They're going to say, oh, this guy is a killer. You better do something about it. Yeah, but cops aren't like that. They just back each other up constantly. And I know I'm generalizing here because there are good cops that don't do that. But they pay a price whenever they speak up. That can't continue. We need to be supporting those cops if we can find them. Anyway, Jacob Blake, the latest name to add to the list. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to comment. The irony is that the thing they're protecting is the assumption that the police are good and to be believed and are benevolent in some way. And that's, I think, the kind of sick irony is that
right. That's
what the blue, the blue line or whatever, the blue protecting blue is. They want to keep the assumption that the police are to be respected. The respect, I got news for you, it's already been lost.
Yeah, it's been lost because of this. So you're your own worst enemy as far as this goes. The respect is being lost because of the way cops are acting, not only with the shootings, but with how they treat people on the streets. And, you know, I think if your police force has been involved in the shooting, you should not be the police force that's involved in the people protesting the shooting. You know, trade with another police force get other people on the streets. Get the demonstrators themselves to police themselves. I think they'll do a much better job. Anyway, today the Detroit Lions canceled practice to protest the shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. This doesn't stop in one community. We all have a voice. We all have a responsibility. And that goes to politics. That goes to representation. We have a representative. I mentioned him before, Representative Lee Zeldin. He's our representative in the New York 1st District. And what he did today, he introduced a resolution denouncing calls to defund, disband, dismantle, or abolish law enforcement and encourage states to adopt statutes to establish essential rights for law enforcement officers. And I thought this was about Jacob Blake. No, it's not. Okay, well, let me continue reading here. These are the points he feels should be made at this point in time. The law enforcement officer should have an inherent right to self-defense against physical threats. The law enforcement officer should have the right to legal recourse if a civilian attempts to assault the law enforcement officer. Physical harassment targeting the law enforcement officer should not be permitted. The law enforcement officer should have the right to equipment necessary for personal protection. The law enforcement officers. There's nothing here about people. It's citizens. There's just law enforcement officers. And when they have the opportunity to respond to adverse accusations, there is not one word here about the rights of citizens, civilians, against this kind of abuse. This is what our Representative Lee Zeldin thinks is important right now. He has not said one word in support of Jacob Blake, not one word in condemnation of his shooting. And by coming out with this crap today, a Bill of Rights for cops, that's your response to cops shooting an innocent person in the back? That, to me, is support of that shooting. How else do you interpret that? This is a guy who cannot say Black Lives Matter to save his life or his political career. And this is a guy who will not say that Jacob Blake was shot in a in, in in just circumstances. There's video of it. There's always video of it these days. But to not be able to say that and to come out with a Bill of Rights for cops on this day? Wow.
Read the room.
Well, that's the thing. He is reading the room. And the room is full of a bunch of redneck racists. And I'm sorry for rednecks, because I know there's a lot of good rednecks out there. But really, Suffolk County has turned into a racist county because they keep supporting racists like Lee Zeldin. Now, do we even know who's running against him this November?
Nancy Goroff.
Oh, you're right. Oh, good for you. You are paying attention. But I'll bet most people don't know that. And this is where I find fault with the Democrats. They're not doing enough.
She's a scientist.
She is a scientist. And I know in this day and age, that's a disadvantage. But yeah, she actually is from right here at Stony Brook, the university. She'd be the first woman with a science PhD in Congress. Imagine the fear that the other representatives would have. Here's what she said. My research is primarily on developing new materials for solar energy and other applications like that, but climate change is a major focus for me. I've been a member of the Union of Concerned Scientists for many, many years. Climate change is a huge threat to our way of life because of sea level rise, coastal erosion, and extreme weather events like Hurricane Sandy and Irene. That's certainly something where I want to be a leader in Congress and serve as a resource for other members of Congress. Vice President Joe Biden unveiled a new infrastructure plan with a focus around clean energy. I think it's important we have people in Congress who can partner with him to make sure that plans like that get put in place. Having people who are knowledgeable and understand the science and technology behind all that, I think that's going to be really important. We don't need a Congress full of scientists, but right now there's only one PhD scientist in Congress. I think this is a moment where people are looking to scientists to take leadership, not only for clean energy and climate, but also to get us out of the COVID-19 pandemic safely. I think it's foolish in the short term and the long term, the way the president and his allies, like Lee Zeldin, have chosen to politicize things like wearing masks instead of focusing on what will actually keep people safe. It has made people much less safe throughout the country, including those people who are doing the right thing and wearing masks, because, of course, it raises the incidence level of viral infection. It's really putting their own desire to score political points or get their base riled up ahead of the welfare of Americans. We can see now it's costing people's lives. And don't forget, Lee Zeldin went to that Tulsa rally without a mask and was a whole part of that idiocy. He doesn't support science. He is a racist. It's despicable, the things that he is doing, but not as despicable as the people of Suffolk County continuing to support him. I think we should all be at 31 Oak Street in Patchogue, outside his offices, around the clock. Not one moment of peace until we get a moment of justice. Oh, a lot more than a moment. It's just, there are no words. This is something that I thought we'd never have to focus on. But the specter of fascism is right here. And it's been like this in many ways for many years, obviously, but to have it this organized.
It's coalescing.
Yeah.
It's become, they've got their brand, they've got their merch, they've got their slogans, they've got their talking points, and they've got their control and their power.
Yeah, and they've got us feeling like we can't win. And that's the scariest part. When I see people saying, oh, it doesn't matter, my vote's not going to count, or they're all the same, that's the worst thing. No, they're not all the same. They're not all great. They're not all what you want. But there is definitely a difference between the fascist and the non-fascist. You might not like the non-fascist a lot. You might not agree with everything or even most things. But you can certainly agree for the people who are not supporting fascist policies or racist policies or just scientifically ignorant policies. You have to speak up. You have to let your voice be heard. And don't let people tell you it doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm frustrated now because it just seems like we're too polite, that we don't speak up enough, that we let the other side get away with all kinds of things, including cheating on a phenomenal scale, when we have so many more people, when we have the ability to use our minds and unite. You know, unite with the people you disagree with. You don't have to agree with everything. And this is what people on the left constantly do, is they constantly at each other's throats. And that's why we always lose. Well, we don't always lose, but it's always the reason we lose. It's because we can't unite enough. So I'm hoping people wake up. And, you know, there, some good news. I'd like to report a little bit of good news. We talked about the whole William Floyd thing. William Floyd, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, has a school district named after him, has a highway named after him out east. And I was talking last week about how, well, you know what? It's time that we moved on from honoring somebody who was a slaveholder back then. Yeah, he signed the Declaration of Independence. We can read about him in history books, but we don't have to honor him. We don't have to honor bad things. And no matter how you look at it, owning slaves was a bad thing. And you had to have known that in the 1700s if you believed there were people were equal. If you believe that at all. And if you didn't believe that, how the hell are you one of the people that we're honoring as a founder of our country? Anyway, dozens of protesters came to a busy Shirley intersection. Shirley is a town out east. On Saturday to demand the removal of a statue of William Floyd. Yeah, 7 foot tall statue. Protesters held up signs that said William Floyd must fall and chanted no justice, no peace. To mostly approving honks and occasional gestures of disapproval from passing vehicles. Why? I mean, why do we want a statue of somebody from the 1700s who owned slaves to remain standing? Well, isn't there somebody else
we can honor? Honestly, that just sounds like the contingent that wants a status quo. They don't want any. Oh, someone's doing something. I'm against that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
We all know the type of people.
Well, people are afraid of change. And I there's a part of me that can understand. But you have to look into yourself and ask, is this the kind of person we want to be honoring? Yeah, okay, honor the signature, fine. I get that. But honor the actions? You know, basically applying our values of today to hundreds of years ago, I think is mostly foolish. But there are things that are universally good and universally bad. So while you may have dressed a particular way that would be considered a crime today, we can overlook that. But if you were beating somebody with a stick because you thought you owned them, I think that's bad no matter what year it was. You know, 200 BC, I think that's bad. And I don't want to honor people that ever thought that was good. But again, it's not erasing history. It's just not honoring it at a damn intersection in Shirley. We want this statue dismantled. We don't want it moved. We don't want it relocated, said a demonstrator. There's no place for it here. The place for William Floyd is in the history books with a full synopsis of what he did as a person. Amen. And I think that's where we should end it tonight. Please write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. Off the Walls on every Tuesday night. But coming up next is our good friend Finn, who we have not seen since April, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
I don't even remember what he looks like.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't. Anyway, I don't envy the people that support some of the things that are going on today. They will have their judgment day. Good night.
Well, your clock is gonna stop at St. Peter's Gate. You're gonna ask him what time it is. He's gonna say it's too late. Hey, hey, I'd sure hate to be you on that dreadful day. You're gonna start to sweat and you ain't gonna stop. You're gonna have a nightmare and never wake up. Hey, 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 I'd sure hate to be you on that dreadful day. You're gonna cry for pills, your head's gonna be in a knot, but the pills are gonna cost more than what you've got. Hey, hey, I'd sure hate to be you on that dreadful day. You're gonna have to walk naked, you can't ride in no car. You're gonna let everybody see just what you are. Hey, hey, I'd sure hate to be you on that dreadful day. Well, the good wine's a-flowing 4 or 5 cents a quart. You're gonna look in your money bags and find your 1 cent short. Hey, 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 I sure hate to be you on a dreadful day. You're gonna yell and scream, don't anybody care. You're gonna hear out a voice say, sure to listen when you heard them words down there. Hey, hey, I'd sure hate to be you on that dreadful day. That's my Calypso tap number.